Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Oh yeah, we're all back and we've got new cables. I'm Morgan Nickel, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve.
Also.
I just can't be bothered. that whole thing.
Yeah.
Usually I struggle and I'm not happy with what I deliver, so this time I'm just not even going to try.
I actually like just that. Dylan I'm Reeve. Dylan Reeve.
Yep.
I like that. I'm going to do the same thing. Where's the button? Here we go.
Begin. Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. And I'm Dylan Reeve.
And I'm Dylan Morgan Nickel Big...
I thought we'd just go for both Dylan Reeve.
Ah.
I'm Dylan Reeve.
And I'm Dylan Reeve. Should we start again?
No, well, I mean, I'm going to leave all that in. Okay. I'll push that in.
Begin. Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Hello, I'm Dylan Reeve.
And I'm Dylan Reeve.
We are...
I was going to try and step over you, but you didn't do the thing you normally do where you say, we're all back. I was going to try and just interrupt you.
All right.
Begin. Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Dylan Reeve, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
Sorry, I wasn't ready. I was having a drink.
All right, just a second.
Begin. Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah, I'm back.
Oh, yeah, we're all back. I'm Dylan Reeve, Big Mouth Dickhead from the internet.
Me too.
Episode 4.25.
Yep.
That's a number. Right. That's a number of some kind.
That's a number.
So, no guests this week.
No, also no Morgan, apparently. Two Dylans, no Morgan.
Two Dylans. Once you go Dylan, you never go back.
That is so true.
I've heard that.
Many, many times.
Many times. So, have people started sending me things? Is that what's happening here? Are you trying to distract me? Because this is going great. So, don't you dare, people. Chat room, people.
No, this is delightful.
This is delightful. If you can't do it drunk, you can't do it. And I just realized that we started so suddenly that I have about 1/8 of a beer left and no more.
I've finished my drink and coughed.
It's not going to go very well. So there's a whole lot of things we can talk about this week, and I don't know what any of them are because I haven't got any of my stories ready.
I want to jump into a news thing straight off the bat because there's two things happening. What there's three things.
And now the four news. Things?
Yeah,
it's not things. Really the news.
Yeah.
We've on and off talked about the GCSB bill.
Poorly considered and unexpected segment.
Yes.
Yeah. We've on and off talked about the GCSB bill.
Yes.
And we've never talked about it in depth because I don't think either of us feel confident really talking about it in meaningful depth.
Yeah.
I think we probably both agree in principle that the GCSB serves purpose and maybe it needs some redefinition and that the bill doesn't do that very well. And that the government is ignoring people who say that. I think probably we all agree. I don't know.
I'm not sure that we do agree on that. I think the GCSB could have their role locked down to providing consultation to other people about their communication security, but it should primarily provide government communication security.
Sure.
Not necessarily intelligence gathering.
But we believe anyway that for some reason the GCSB has a purpose and that purpose needs to be better defined, and that was in theory what the bill was supposed to do but doesn't seem to be what it's doing. Yeah. Anyway, there's an interesting discussion going on and Campbell Live has been doing some great stuff this week and will continue to do some great stuff this week. So I encourage you to watch Campbell Live. Probably on air if you can because the TV3 On Demand player sucks.
The TV3 On Demand player sucks so bad and you will notice... If you've been a long-term user of online television, New Zealand television catch-up and on-demand services, you will have recognised that TV3 absolutely ripped off everything about TVNZ's on-demand service, apart from the quality.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work very well. I spent a very long time trying to watch the Campbell Live items tonight, and it frustrated the hell out of me, but the items are very good, and Campbell's putting a lot of effort into informing the peoples and polling the peoples about their thoughts on this GCSB bill. And I think that's really valiant, and I'm delighted that Campbell Live is a program that feels that it can tackle serious issues and actually in depth as well.
Yeah.
Which is good. So anyway, there's that. But an interesting thing, there was a statement from the Prime Minister when queried on the Monday night program what he thought, New Zealanders thought of the GCSB bill. And his statement was that they care more about Snapper.
Yeah.
My observation was going to be that last week on the show, we didn't talk about the GCSB bill, but we did talk about Snapper. So maybe he's right.
Do you think that he is getting his information as he just from listening to the show?
I would say so.
I wouldn't be surprised. We do have an awful lot of listeners.
Yeah, a lot from government IPs as well. Yeah. I would say so. Yeah, that seems likely. There was another observation I made while watching the show, and I'm going to encourage you carefully to listen to what I'm about to say. My local MP, Paula Bennett, stated when asked what she thought New Zealanders thought about the GCSB bill that none had bothered to contact her. She had not received any requests for meetings, or no one had come to speak to her about it. And you know what? That's my fault. It's not my fault directly for everyone, but it's my fault for assuming that people would be letting my local MP know how people, we generally, some of us, people like me, thought on the issue. And presumably they didn't.
Yeah.
So I have taken the time to do so, and I encourage everyone else to take the time to contact their local MP, because we can't just assume that our local MPs follow us on Twitter and Facebook and know that we don't like this thing. They may well think that we care more about Snapper, so we should contact them and tell them how we feel about the GCSB bill.
I care about both the GCSB bill and Snapper.
We can care about both of those things, and therefore we should contact the MPs about both of them.
That's right. I am not a robot which was designed and built out of pieces of metal using a lathe to care about only one thing at a time.
But like, don't just assume that because there's protests in a fairly solid public movement against the GCSB bill that your local MP is aware of your feelings on the issue. Yeah. Tell them specifically.
Yeah.
It's not very difficult at all.
I think people probably don't bother talking to Paula Bennett anymore, because I believe that she actually is a robot that was made with very low quality metalworking tools to only do things that she's told to by one specific small group of men.
Perhaps, but I don't want her to be able to claim any further that her members of her electorate aren't contacting her to express their opposition to the bill.
Yeah.
So she cannot claim that anymore, because I have contacted her. If she claims that again, she is absolutely outright lying from this date onward. Just making that very clear.
Yeah. So is that everything that we're going to say about the GCSB bill?
I think so. You can plenty of information. Oh, actually, Tech Liberty's got a good write-up on what they think are some of the more pragmatic and realistic problems with the bill as it stands at the moment after Peter Dunn's changes.
Yeah. Techliberty.org.nz.
Yeah, worth checking out. That's enough of that.
Talk to your MP. Because, you know, having sent in a submission, that might not actually be enough. You know, people actually need to know that there are voices out here. The reason that the Snapper thing worked, kind of went big, was the fishers got organised and they sent submissions and they spoke
to
MPs.
That's fishers, not fishes. If the fishers got organised, obviously, they would probably be in favour of the Snapper quota being lowered.
No.
You don't think the fishers would be in favour of that?
No, it's sneaky rubbish designed ultimately to increase the commercial catch.
Oh, okay. So the fishers wouldn't like that?
No, they wouldn't. They would
neither the fishers nor the fishers.
Yeah. Okay. Let me play this thing, assuming it works. That's not a safe assumption. Pauline Hanson, do you remember her?
Yeah.
So she has the One Nation Party, and they have one of their members.
This person standing for election.
Yeah,
I take it some sort of upcoming political event.
She's nominated to stand for a Queensland seat, and she is currently facing criminal charges over alleged anti-Muslim behaviour. And I really, really desperately want to be able to play this video, But my Ocon.
She's actually facing charges.
Yeah.
Wow.
I want this to bloody work. I'm having this streaming thing again, eh? How about that? Wouldn't that be nice?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I've got an idea. I'm going to try this using a different browser and just see if that makes any difference. What the hell just happened?
Wow, that was neat. Can we do that again?
Oh, this is why I never use Firefox, because of its constant updating. Thank you,
Firefox. I've updated to the latest version that was released just an hour ago.
For reminding me why I actually use Chrome now. All right, let's see if the video actually works now. Her name is Stephanie Bannister, and she's 27 years old.
God, I hope it's a pretty well-led.
She's a mother of two, so obviously she's an expert on absolutely everything. You know, mothers are all experts, especially on the way that society should be run to benefit them.
I don't oppose Islam as a country, but I do feel that their laws should not be welcome here in Australia. Less than 2% of Australians follow haram. Jews
Islam,
under haram,
the country.
They have their own religion, which follows Jesus Christ.
Jews have their own religion that follows Jesus Christ.
A certain way of making it, where haram has a tax on the food. Everyone in the world has a lot to learn about day-to-day stuff, and it's everything in life is just about learning.
Okay.
Does she mean halal?
So, yes. So let's be really clear. She just said she doesn't have a problem with Islam as a country.
Neither do I.
And she said that Jews follow Jesus.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a larger metaphysical point she's making there about Jesus being a Jew and Jews therefore following in his something. Yes, yeah, so she's as thick as two short planks?
Yes. Yes, and she is the, you know, the stellar example, the most wonderful person that they could find to stand for that seat. So, you know, it's got to tell you a few things about One Nation as a party, doesn't it?
But I don't follow Australian politics. Are they a party that actually stands a chance of you know, winning seats in whatever electoral something or other they have?
Well, they are a bit.
Or are they like, I'm trying to think of a New Zealand party that talks. Oh, they're like the Conservative Party that talks a lot of shit and somehow gets itself on the news a lot, but frankly really has no chance of playing in our political landscape.
Well, Pauline Hanson was elected, right?
Was she though? Was she as One Nation, or did she become One Nation while she was elected? I had the impression that she'd jumped ship and became One Nation from some other party. I don't know.
I think that she had been elected for the Liberal. No, that's not right. Who did she stand for? She was a councillor. I don't really want to read about Pauline Hanson because there's a photo on the page and it's got red leather, and I have a hard time with red leather.
I understand.
I think that she formed her party after the party she was in said, excuse me, no, you're too crazy for us. And then One Nation didn't successfully contest the election in 1998. And then she's unsuccessfully tried again following that. So she was a Liberal member, and then she was an independent member, but once she started One Nation, it failed from then on.
Oh, no, although apparently One Nation attracted a quarter of the vote in the Australian Queensland state election and won 11 out of 89 seats in the Legislative Assembly of Queensland. So there you go.
So that is where all the real nasty redneck racists are.
That's also where most of the New Zealanders are.
That might explain everything. They might be like, well, you know, those bloody Murrays ruined New Zealand because New Zealand was great.
I think most of them are the bloody Murrays.
New Zealand was great when it was just white people, but when those bloody Murrays arrived, ruined everything.
Anyway, this woman, this shining example of awesomeness has stepped down, hasn't she? She's removed herself from the running.
Well, I don't really care what has happened as a consequence of this video. I just love that video.
Whoops, I misspoke slightly. Now I will withdraw myself from the election.
Slightly.
I don't know. That part may be made up. That part may be made up. I'm pretty sure she has withdrawn from the election, though.
I think she's a mad cow.
Highly plausible.
Next story.
What else you got?
A vegans attack butter cow.
What?
An animal welfare group intent on sending a message in support of veganism, which I'm going to call veganism from now on, had until closing time, then poured red paint over the Iowa State Fair's butter cow. The damage was quickly scraped away, and visitors never knew the iconic sculpture had been damaged.
So they made us. So there's a. Oh man, butter sculpting was all the rage in the 90s, wasn't it?
I
vaguely
know.
Remember this now. People used to have butter sculptures at their weddings and stuff.
Oh my God.
But it wasn't even really butter. I think it was like a specific margarine. Margarine that was designed for sculpting.
With a little bit of clay mixed in or something.
Probably.
Oh, how lovely. I really like the way it tastes on toast. And it also, it cleans my teeth simultaneously and slightly grinds them down every time I take a bite.
Wow, awesome. vegans, eh?
Vegans.
Oh, good. There's really no way to... what could you say about that?
The cow, which is made with about 600 pounds of butter covering a wood and metal frame, has been part of the fair since 1911.
Not the same one.
The butter is reused for up to 10 years.
I wouldn't eat it. No, I recommend not, you know, scraping some butter off that for your toast.
Yeah. So, spokesperson Someone Bright... I can't be bothered reading further. Oh, no, it's a Iowa State Patrol Sergeant, Scott Bright, says everyone comes out to see the butter cow.
It's just...
The butter cow looks good now and everything is back to normal.
Good.
Good. That's nice.
Sorry, I just want to talk to... I'm just going to distract you from the butter cow thing. I want to go back to the GCSB thing just very briefly. Sorry, it's just something just occurred.
Oh, that's not news. No one's interested in that.
Yeah, that's true. We'll talk about fish afterwards if you like.
Yeah, all right. I'm ready.
You know, people say if you've got nothing to hide...
You've got nothing to fear.
Yeah, that.
Everyone has something to hide.
Do you think there's like, if you drew the Venn diagram of those people, yeah, and then you drew the Venn diagram of people who complain about police enforcing speed laws,
yeah,
do you think there'd be a lot of commonality?
Also, if you drew the diagram...
Like, would those people feel okay about having like a police-monitored GPS system in every car?
Also, the diagram of people who hate gays and then later are found with a penis in their mouth attached to some young intern lad who, if they have turned away from the path of righteousness or whatever, it tends to be that sort of person as well.
But the main thing to me is, I think it would be, I'm fairly sure the people who rage about speed cameras and police revenue gathering speed enforcement maybe the same people who would say this. And I can't imagine that they would be happy to have a constant speed monitoring system installed in their car.
Mate, with this car, it's faster. No, that, oh God. One beer and it's all gone wrong. Oh, forget it. I was going to make a joke about those cars being safer at higher speeds. That's what they think anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Never mind the physics.
Speaking of cars, the Ford Mustang's coming to New Zealand and Australia.
Is that right? Oh, yep. because the XR6 is being ended.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I don't know if that's...
XR6 and the XR8, they're ending those ones, which are made in Australia, so they're actually good.
Apparently Ford has a one Ford program, that thing, where they're trying to push more of their models to be universal.
Yeah.
Or global. Anyway, there you go. So the Mustang's kind of a cool car, but a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. I like some of those cars. I like the way some of them sound, but it turns out the way some of them sound is complete artificial nonsense that you can only hear inside the car because it's being played to you from MP3s through the stereo.
Oh my God, is that true?
That's true.
That is amazing.
Yep. Yeah. Some of those cars...
I could do that with my car. Why do I not do that with my car? That's a brilliant idea.
If you have an AM radio, you could tune that into whatever the frequency is of your alternator and a bit...
Oh, no, I can do that if I plug my cell phone into the charger and into the stereo at the same time.
Does it go...
Yeah, but it's not a satisfying noise.
It sounds a little bit like an F1 car, but...
Yeah, but it's not good.
Yeah.
Next story.
The SPCA is calling for gin traps to be banned after two pet cats were caught and badly injured in West Auckland within a month. One of the cats had its leg amputated.
Are they not?
Are they not banned? Gin traps?
I don't know. I just kind of assumed that they were banned.
They're used for catching possums.
Right. Well, no, I think we should ban those.
Why? Do you think possums should be allowed to continue destroying New Zealand's forests?
No, I think we should drop lots and lots of 1080 on them. I don't think we should leave large, indiscriminate and dangerous metal traps lying around.
Yeah. They're not large. And I think most...
Well, they can be large. I guess probably the ones for possums aren't.
You're talking about like bear traps, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, the gin trap is a type of trap. It doesn't specify what size it is.
That is absolutely correct.
They make them in all sorts of different sizes for different animals.
I'm sure that's true, but they only use the smaller ones in New Zealand.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there's some actually quite clever ones which attach to the sides of trees. Possums kind of crawl up into, and then they get their heads kind of... I think they attach... Those ones don't lock onto the leg, they kind of lock onto the head or neck.
Yeah.
Which is probably better. It probably kills them faster. I think, I mean, if you're going to kill cats, though, I don't think you should use a gin trap. You should use a 22. Way more effective.
Kill cats or possums?
Oh, what did they say?
I don't know. Gareth Morgan?
This was in West Auckland, home of, you know, the Waitakere Rangers, which is, all of the parks in New Zealand that border residential areas have cats in them, and they do damage to our native wildlife. And so, you know, someone with a 22 and a silencer, they could probably save a lot of bird life.
Sure, totally.
I'm not suggesting that they should necessarily happen.
You should be shooting cats. It's not what you're saying specifically.
I think that feral cats probably should just be shot.
Okay.
But, you know, someone's family moggy. I'm not sure that should be shot. Maybe drowned.
Jesus. All right, good. Time to move on.
Okay. Now, so this boy, this 11-year-old Westport boy.
No.
No?
Oh, it's just, okay. Go ahead.
He was wearing a helmet.
Yep.
He was riding his bicycle.
Yep.
Wasn't doing anything weird, apparently.
Nope.
Fell over and died.
Fell off his bike and gashed his throat.
That's not cool. So that's I think
horrible.
This means that we should all be required to wear some kind of Kevlar neck thing to protect us while we ride bicycles. Now that this has happened to one person,
I don't think anyone's suggesting that. It's just a horrible accident, and it's I find it terrible as a parent because I look at that and I think these freak things happen. You can do everything.
That's right.
And then these freak things happen, and it's just horrible.
It is horrible. You just need to be brave.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that, you know, the law of odds and such mean that it won't happen to me, but it's horrible that it's happened to someone, and it hurts me in my heart to think of what the family goes through in a situation like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But terrible. Then, you know, I say that, and then it's absurd to me as well, because dozens or hundreds of families in New Zealand go through this every week with losing children for one reason or another.
Yeah.
But it's horrible.
The stupid shit that I got away with on a bicycle, like riding a bike down a hill, around a corner, with no hands, with my eyes closed.
Well, you know.
And I crashed into the back of a car.
The law of statistics, somehow.
Yep, but I crashed into the back of a car with my eyes closed.
Good.
I didn't even get a bruise.
Yes, we do dumb things on bikes, and most of the time we don't get hurt, and sometimes, unfortunately, we do.
That's right.
It's horrible.
It's the nature of the creature. Swan killing case. A court case for a catty man accused of mowing down black swans on Tauranga Harbour with a jet boat and taking part in the inhumane shooting of a goat has been adjourned.
Why?
I suspect that this is the sort of person. I'm not saying that Carl Ian Williams, age 36, I'm not saying he has ever set gin traps in areas that are known to be frequented by domestic cats. But if anyone was going to, I suspect he'd probably be the sort of person who might.
Fair enough.
And he might also be the sort of person who would shotgun cats rather than 22-ing them in the head.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I'm not saying that he has. Obviously, I have no idea. All I know is that he inhumanely shot a goat.
What? So did you say his case was, what did you say, adjourned, postponed?
It has been adjourned.
Why?
Good question. His lawyer successfully sought an adjournment. It's been adjourned because his lawyer asked for it to be adjourned.
Oh, okay.
So the thing with the goat, they threw the goat into the air and then shot it.
That doesn't seem humane.
It doesn't seem humane, does it? And they filmed that.
Glorious.
Yep.
Idiots.
No more firearms for you, mate. And perhaps no more jet boats either, but that's probably a little bit harder, isn't it?
It's hard to see how the jet boat was related. So okay. On the doing things and then not having things angle. Is it Paula Bennett's proposed law changes that would mean? Now I was trying to figure out what the specifics were. Some people convicted of some things relating to children don't get to have children anymore. well, don't get to be in charge of children anymore.
It possibly goes even further than that because the standard of proof is different, and this law, I believe, applies to people who weren't convicted, only charged.
Okay, so under the changes, parent who has been convicted for killing or abusing an infant or child, or who has had their child removed after abusing them, will have to prove to the government that they are fit to parent more children. So sure, I suppose convicted of killing or abusing an infant or child, fair enough. But having their child removed from, I'm not entirely clear what the burden of proof on CIFS or whomever does that is. Yeah. I'm uncomfortable with that. I also wonder if this is a problem, if this solves the problem, or is just one of those laws that seems like it's getting tough but doesn't really address the bigger issue. Because I can't help but think, you know, if you think to any of the cases where we know of children dying in the care of their parents,
yeah,
negligently or worse, I don't think any of those parents had a particular history of killing children in the past or being convicted of such.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me like, you know, presumably people who are identified as that are already under slightly more scrutiny, and certainly any reports about them are likely to be taken, you know, a lot more, or likely to be followed up a lot more proactively than reports about people who are not known to the system.
Yeah.
I would assume. Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting... Yeah, the burden of proof. I mean, I'm not sure how you prove that you are... How do you prove that you're a good parent? How do you prove that you're not abusive?
Well, it's impossible to prove a negative, isn't it?
Yeah. Especially when you don't have a child. How do you prove that you're not abusive to a child when the state has taken your children away from you?
I'm in favour of someone being able to say, we couldn't convict you, but we believe you are so dangerous that even though we couldn't meet the standard, even though you were so good at being abusive and hiding it, but we know what you did, we are going to still take your children away and keep them somewhere safe. But that sort of thing can be abused terribly.
Well, I mean, that's
the thing. But I'm in favour of it being possible.
Yeah. I sort of feel the same, and the problem is that the problem is, you know, you find plenty of, who knows how bad it is because I've never been involved in it, but anecdotally and even on a first-hand account from someone I know, you find plenty of occasions where the police or CIFS take action that just frankly isn't really justified by the circumstance, and you think, you know, this is now taking it to another level. Like, can we be sure that these people who are probably in many cases overworked and also very risk-averse.
Yeah,
like you don't want to be the CIFS, whatever they're called now, counsellor who sent a child back to a family and then that child gets killed.
That cover your ass thing is so dangerous.
Well, and every time it happens, we always find out, oh look, they had contact with CIFS and the child was sent back. It's like, yeah, but you can't just take every child away from their parents because you just in case, like.
That's exactly right. And that's how we get stupid anti-terrorism laws and so on, right?
Yeah, so
because
I don't know,
what if something does happen? What if then, just in case, I've got to keep you safe? Because, you know, it's the same thing that John Key said to whoever it was that was making a submission for the GCSB bill, who said, what would you say to the parents of people who were killed if there was a Boston Marathon bombing?
Well, it's exactly the same thing that I think it was Coleman, and in fact, a lot of the national MPs have said it in response. Coleman and I think Tau Henare did as well, in response to questions on the Campbell Live Show, was, well, you know, we need a security service. Like, no one's saying that you don't. We're just saying that this bill isn't the solution.
Yeah.
Like, it frustrates me that people get to reframe the opposition. And, of course, a bill like this that is intended to protect children has the same, you know, the same situation. If you oppose this bill for any reason, you're opposing protecting children.
Yeah.
You're opposing keeping children safe from abuse.
Yeah. So what we're talking about actually, I think, are two separate things. So there's a new law, I think.
This one's the Vulnerable Children Bill.
Yeah.
I don't know what the other one is.
Yeah, there are two things. There's one is about the restraining orders about keeping suspected child abusers away from children from up to 10 years, and there's another about some related but slightly different thing. So if we appear to be talking across purposes, it's probably because we actually are talking about slightly different things. But, yeah, I think we actually agree on that one for a change. Nice.
Yeah, we like protecting children, but passing big blunt laws isn't always the best way to do it. We need to look at some, you know, slightly more nuanced.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's protecting children, and then there's breaking society for the sake of protecting a very small number of children.
It's with probably, what's her name, Judith Collins on Twitter about this, and they said that, I can't remember who it was, and I can't bother looking it up right now, sorry. They said that, you know, a better approach would be to make sure that, these services, like, you know, parenting help services and other things like that were available to everyone.
Everybody.
We're available to everyone.
Everybody always thinks of the children.
Yeah, everybody thinks of the children. Yeah. That services to help parents who are struggling were available to everyone. Were, you know, no cost, and there was also no negative outcomes for approaching them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like if you approach the parenting help service that you wouldn't want to be sure that you're not automatically going to start being investigated by SIFs as a result of that, because that keeps people away.
Mm. And that's actually one of the arguments for treating drug abuse as a health problem, not as a legal problem, because
exactly.
People are afraid to approach people who might, for help, with the fear that they might be convicted. And it's one of the reasons that we changed our prostitution laws, is because the people that were most likely to be victims of crime related to prostitution were the prostitutes themselves, and it was not the punters, and it was the prostitutes who were the ones who were the only ones who could ever be convicted of anything, because the soliciting and so on was the charge. There was no charge, as far as I can recall.
I was never quite sure. I didn't pay that much attention to it.
I don't know that there was anything that the customers could be charged with.
Right.
I'm not sure of that. I'm not a lawyer, obviously. Probably that should go at the beginning of every show as well. The following program will include swear words. And also, Morgan's not a lawyer or doctor.
And possibly hasn't read half the stories he's talking about.
Possibly.
Yeah.
30 minutes. Next story.
The US cannot incarcerate our way to becoming a safer nation. Sentences, this is actually from Metafilter, to believe it or not.
They can try very hard, though.
They can try. Sentencing reform for drug offences is expected to be announced by the US Attorney General. Eric Holder will announce Monday that he is mandating the Justice Department modify its policies so that certain non-violent drug offenders will no longer endure draconian mandatory minimum sentences.
Has that happened?
Where?
Well, wasn't that... That was like Monday, that like yesterday, New Zealand time. Has it actually happened? I mean, this is he was expected to announce this.
Well, by the time anyone's listening to the podcast, it's probably happened. But
by the time we're doing the podcast, he should have as well, shouldn't he?
Should he?
It's past Monday.
Well, this was posted on August the 13th.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, who knows?
So I don't know. Maybe. Holder wants to go further. And work with Congress to return discretion to judges.
Yeah, there is so many states
where you don't want that to happen. Some judges are not.
Well, no, but there's also so many states that have mandatory sentencing.
Yeah, and New Zealand.
Do we?
Yeah, we've got a three strikes law, bro. That means mandatory sentencing.
But is it? Yeah,
that means no discretion. Now, that's not about low-end drug cases, though. I think that's only about violent and sexual crimes.
God, there are so many. There are so many cases. There are so many cases of people being locked up for insane amounts of time for ridiculous things.
A bit of weed.
The war on drugs and stuff. Or, you know, for having, like, you know, a joint in their car as well as a gun that then makes it like felony drug trafficking or something, you know, it's just insane.
But not if you're white.
Well, no, occasionally, but yeah, mostly not.
It's the war on poor people, and definitely it's the war on black people.
Definitely.
Some 47% of US prison inmates are incarcerated for drug offences, according to the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Black and Hispanic people are overrepresented, 37% and 34%. I don't know what their percentage of the population is. And US prisons are currently operating at nearly 40% above capacity. 219,000 federal inmates in prison.
Yeah, number one in the world in terms of percentage of population incarcerated.
It costs $80 billion a year.
That's worth noting in many states as well. Once you've been convicted of any felony, you can't vote anymore.
Yeah.
and many drug crimes are felonies.
Shocker. It's weird, isn't it? Let's talk about things that are less depressing.
Next story.
Now, I am actually kind
of hard. It's better be less depressing. It's better than a trick, Morgan.
I'm hard on crime, but I have specific ideas of what constitutes a crime that is actually worth being hard on. And
well, harming people is a good start.
That's absolutely right. And that doesn't include necessarily yourself, even though you are a person. New class of easily retrievable asteroids discovered.
Easy, retrievable?
Easy is relative, I guess. I mean, I suppose like for mining or whatever, or to who knows why.
Just send up the asteroid grabber and pull it down.
That's right. It's like a claw. It's yellow plastic, big, and it just flies out.
Big claw. Phineas and Ferb made it.
You've got to line it up just right before you fire it off, though. Astronomers have found 12 near-Earth asteroids that could be captured with today's rocket technology. So we don't have to invent anything new. We just have to be really, really clever and careful and line things up just right. Now, the only reason I'm really interested in this story, because it all just seems like rubbish to me because it's far too expensive to do anything like this, is because I've been playing Kerbal Space Program, which is, it's a terrible game that no one should ever play.
Have you mentioned this before on the show, or have I heard about it somewhere else?
I've mentioned it on Twitter in the last week.
No, I must have heard it from somewhere else then.
You've definitely heard it from other people because I think it's quite popular. I think it sold like a couple of 100,000 copies on Steam for about $20, and for a sort of an indie game, that's pretty bloody good. You know, they've funded themselves now to continue development, and there's, you know, a community of people building mods around it and so on, and it's pretty cool. You build spacecraft and you launch them into orbit, and
I know who was playing this. Ben's son was playing this.
Oh yeah. I'm not very talented at it. I hope that he is more talented. It is
almost certainly.
I have orbited and landed on both moons. I've landed on Mun and Minimus, and I've gone extremely close and orbited around the sun. But mainly, what I've done is strand my Kerbmen astronauts in various different places around the solar system.
And sounds then, about right. You're a horrible and irresponsible space program.
So I sent one guy up in a single pod, and I got him up to Mun, and I was like, oh yeah, I'll land him. This will be great. And in the process of landing, I crashed, and somehow the pod survived. And so now he's stranded on Mun by himself. And I was like, this is fine. This gives me the opportunity to send up some kind of rescue mission. So I sent up a pod. A space pod that can land on the moon, and it could be a little house for him. And I managed to land it. I got it to the moon and I managed to land it. I sent it up unmanned with a little computer controlling it, and I had to fly it. And then, so I'm like, sweet, this is awesome. And I wasn't even far away from where my Kerbman was. So then I took my Kerbman along, and he's got a little jetpack, and I was like, okay, I'm going to fly to the base. And this took 4 hours. Okay, getting this rescue mission to Mun took 4 real hours of playtime. And as I'm approaching the pod with my Kerbman, his eyes were lighting up with delight. He could see that the rescue package was there as he crashed into a cliff and died.
Oh, my gosh.
And so then I went to bed, and it was about 5 a.m.
Having just killed an astronaut.
One of numerous. The most I've killed at once was 8. And I didn't mean to kill any of
terrible
them.
Terrible person.
Yeah. It's a really fun game, and you should not play it because it is easy to do something and it's hard to do anything well because it kind of has all the kind of maybe slight simplifications of the real physics. And so all of the orbital stuff is really hard. Like matching orbits is really difficult. And it's, so it takes ages to get everything right. Got to line shit up, burn for the right amount of time with the right power. And if you don't know what Delta V is, you're basically fucked from the start. So, yeah, so there's that.
Next story.
And this is also good news. Judge rules New York's stop and frisk program unconstitutional, orders broad overhaul. So yep,
that'll happen.
Well, it might not. You're right to be cynical. There have been something like 5 million of these stop and search, stop and frisk stops by the New York police in the last 10 years. It's extremely racist.
All blacks.
It's all blacks, black and Hispanic. No,
it's blacks and Hispanics and the white person.
And it's absolutely just fishing. And the evidence that it's fishing is that of these 5 million or something stops, 6% of those stops ended in an arrest. If there was any real suspicion of anything having happened, like, for instance, you saw a person with illegal drugs or with something stolen or with an illegal firearm, then you would stop them and you'd say, I have the power to search you. I saw that firearm and now I've found it and now you're under arrest. 6% of stops, like slightly more than 1 in 20. That's fishing. That is probably, I mean, it is probably the same as random.
I'm fairly certain that very few of those 6% of stops were actually for, 6% of arrests were actually for the purposes under which the program was initiated anyway.
Which I imagine
was other things in a lot of cases.
Probably terrorism, right?
Ostensibly was to get guns off the street, wasn't it?
Right. Yeah, and I suspect most of those are for someone who had some weed in their pocket, I bet.
Yeah, or warrants, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, so sucks, bro, sucks. So let's have another happy one, eh?
Next story.
Gandalf the Ram. Now, I first...
Is this the Ram versus motorbike?
This is Ram versus motorcycle.
That's genius, that thing.
Yeah, it's absolute genius. And where did it happen?
Go New on. Zealand?
That's right, it happened in little New Zealand. And I first encountered this. Was it Topless Robot? It was something like that. It was one of those sites, one of the Uproxx sites. And it's hilarious. And the first one I watched was a Yakety Sax version. So this guy is just riding along a dirt track through the bush. And he comes along a grey ram and it's in the middle of the road. And it's a bit weird to begin with because he sort of appears to head towards it unnecessarily when he should have just gone around it and then hauled ass. But he slows down a lot and it sort of backs up and then it charges him, headbutts him in the front wheel and he falls over with his motorcycle. And then then ensues kind of a couple of minutes of hilarity with him getting chased around and chasing around this ram. And eventually, he gets a stick.
He even grapples with it a couple of times, which, quite frankly, I would have been very freaked out. I would just run away. Angry goat, I run away.
it's a sheep.
Yeah, whatever. I'm still running away from it, from an angry thing with horns, an aggressive, angry animal with horns.
I have actually run away from sheep and hidden up a tree before, but there were 3 of them, and I was about 7. You know, as a grown-ass man, I'm not sure I would tolerate this sort of behavior from an ungulant.
Where is this grumpy ram?
I don't know because the story I'm looking at is on Uproxx, and so they don't know anything about where anything is. Let's see.
We need to take you there and put you head to head with the grumpy ram and see what happens.
We can go to – oh, this better not – yep, this is going to be an autoplay. Thank you, Stuff. But I saw that. It's Nelson man Marty Todd.
Nelson, right. So it's in Nelson.
Somewhere down around there.
All right. Well, the budget issue, you know, we'll have to work around, especially after we've started paying Ben and pies.
Yeah.
But I think we can get you there and find out exactly, you know, how you really fear against an angry ram.
Yeah. I expect
to see you hiding in a tree.
The more real it starts to get, the less willing I am to do it, the less brave I will be. I guarantee that for damn sure.
Next story.
So President Obama held a news conference on Friday and he promised reform about this whole surveillance thing, which has kind of exploded. He made promises that he would work with Congress to produce better oversight, but he treated the recent leaks about NSA spying as more of a PR problem than a real problem. Set the person who lied to Congress and denied the spying to Congress to be the leader of this reform panel. And that's this guy, Clapper. What is the rest of his name? Good question. C-L-A-P-P. Come on. James Clapper. So he lied to Congress about the spying program. And now he's the guy that is meant to reform the spying.
fat fucking luck, President Obama, it turns out, is terrible. Maybe not as bad as John Key, but pretty bloody awful all the same.
It's certainly disappointing.
Yes. How about someone independent? How about that for a crazy idea? How about someone who hasn't been tainted? How about someone who hasn't explicitly lied to legislators? How about someone who just hasn't lied?
Maybe
someone who isn't.
Find this person?
Well, anyone but this guy, pretty much. This is like the only guy who is really obviously a bad choice. Now, other people, of course, would also, you know, they'd have their own problems. So just find someone who's a judge. How about that? Like a retired, whatever court judges, the sort of judge that actually does retire, not the Supreme Court guys, I think, who would just die out of office, out of the robes or whatever, off the bench. But someone like that. Give them clearance and then have someone independent run this panel. Because you don't get reform when you have the shape-shifting lizard person who is part of the problem. Running this is the old thing of, you know, three wolves and a sheep deciding what's for lunch. What reform are you going to get? Well, maybe they'll change the laws so that the press can't report these cases at all anymore. Maybe it'll be something like that. That'd be great reform. Because, you know, if people don't know, they won't be afraid. People don't know, they'll stop being angry. They'll stop voting against the evil, vicious bastards.
Next story.
Fluoride.
No.
You don't want to do fluoride? Sharknado?
Right. Sharknado?
Sharknado.
I'm much more into Sharknado than fluoride.
It's going to be playing one night only next week in New Zealand cinemas.
Which night?
I don't know. I haven't read that far.
Which cinemas?
Don't know.
45 minutes.
You are terrible.
August the 23rd is next Friday. It's at Hoyts Sylvia Park, Event Queen Street, Hoyts Te Awa, that's Hamilton, Reading's Courtney Place, that's Wellington, and Hoyts Riccarton, that allegedly is Christchurch, but I suspect it probably will have collapsed by then.
Have you seen Sharknado?
No.
Oh, well, that's good. It means you can still experience the joy of the movie as well as getting it on the big screen.
I'm not going to go and watch it.
Oh, come on.
Why would I go and watch it? It's a shitty made-for-TV movie.
No, it's not shitty. It's among the best movies ever made.
It's among the best movies ever made with Ian Ziering in them.
I don't know. I have no idea what else he's been in. But
Beverly Hills 90210 and then pretty much this, I think. Let's find out. Ian Ziering, IMDb.
Oh my God, I can't imagine what it'll be like watching it with a large audience. That would be just an amazing experience.
He's 49 years old. Let's see, what has he made since?
You seriously need to... I wish I could go. Maybe I can. Maybe there's a way I can...
He was in a Spider-Man TV series. I guess that was an animated one.
Honestly, the experience of watching it with an audience will be something else.
He was a voice actor in a video game called Biker Mice from Mars.
I think you're not understanding what movies are.
No, I'm telling you all he's got on his filmography. There's a few TV movies and little TV series stuff, and some short films.
I wish I could. I have tried to explain it to a few people and I can't.
Yeah. So have you watched it?
Yeah, I have. It's amazing.
Yeah. He's 49.
Is he? He doesn't look 49. Good on him. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
That's the best word I can think to describe it.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Amazing. You are amazed by what aspect of it exactly?
There are sharks?
Yes.
There is a nado?
Yep. And they get tore up.
Yeah, that's basically, there's LA, there's more sharks, there's some rain, there's some not rain, there's some flooding, there's some not flooding, there's sharks. Did I mention sharks?
Yeah, yes.
There's some, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
a leaflet sent out by Hamilton City Council to explain its controversial decision to remove tooth decay fighting fluoride from the city's drinking water has been slammed by dental authorities. New Zealand's only dental training school said the one-page leaflet's oral health information is wrong, unscientific and misleading, and residents should disregard it. Dr. Jonathan Broadbent, a public health dentistry specialist and researcher from the University of Otago's Faculty of Dentistry, said the newly released information needs to be corrected. I suggest they have a public communication problem on their hands and need to act quickly to put the correct information out there, or seek for help from those that are in the business of producing health advice that the public can rely on.
I wish I could remember what the theory, like is fluoride supposed to be a mind control agent? What is the, like, what's the conspiratard argument behind fluoride?
Fluoride and chemtrails and HAARP. Is that what
we're... Oh, fuck chemtrails.
Chemtrails, bro. Chemtrails.
So you see there's a show in the States called Joe Rogan Questions Everything.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Joe Rogan...
Yes.
You know he's a conspiracy nut.
Well... Yes.
Apparently, yeah. He's turned a corner a little bit.
Yeah.
He's gone a wee bit more skeptic.
Yeah.
So he's doing this show called Joe Rogan Questions Anything, which is about conspiracies, basically. And he did one on chemtrails, and actually did a pretty good takedown on chemtrails, really. Apparently, it's upset a lot of his fans.
Well, here's the thing about chemtrails. The reason that word sounds familiar is that it's based on contrails, which is what people are really seeing when planes fly high above them.
No, see, if you understood enough about contrails, you'd understand that what you're seeing doesn't look like contrails. Here's a picture of contrails, and here's a picture of chemtrails. See, they're completely different. They may look the same, but they're different.
They're completely different, but they look the same.
They're completely different, but they look the same. If you knew anything, if you weren't just, you know, a mind-controlled media whore, you'd understand that they are different, and this is really chemicals being sprayed on you, on the population, to control their mind, or alternatively chemicals being put in the sky to seed weather patterns and cause giant floods and storms that kill people for some reason.
Have you noticed that rainbows look different now than when we were young, Dylan?
Nope.
That's because of chemtrails.
Oh.
I expect.
Probably.
Some kind of lie like that.
Yeah, conspiracies. Chemtrails. It freaks me out that there are people in the world who, when they see anything on the mainstream media, their first instinct is that it's a lie, because everything on the mainstream media is a lie, and then they find it necessary to figure out what the conspiracy and the truth is.
Yeah.
This extends as far as people believing that, what's her name, Kate, you know, Princess Kate, whatever the hell her name is, wasn't even pregnant.
Yeah.
It's not a real, it's not their real baby.
Yeah.
It's a surrogate, and it's not even something, and it's like Rothschilds and Illuminati, and I don't know. Man, it's crazy.
I bet that the real father of Kate's apparent kid is whoever the father is of Prince Henry of Wales, aka Prince Harry.
Right, yeah.
So whoever his father is, that is the real father.
Probably. I think we're onto it. We figured it out.
Did you hear about this Oprah Winfrey handbag?
The $44,000 handbag?
Yeah.
Nope, didn't hear a thing about that.
No, that never heard about that. All right, well, we don't need to talk about it then. Chef deemed too fat for New Zealand launches appeal.
Who?
Albert.
Is this the, was he South African?
Yes. South African immigrant who faces deportation for being too fat. His name is Albert Butterhouse.
Good.
It's not really. It's Boeton Huis or something like that.
I like your other version better.
Butterhouse. It's good. It's funny. It's funny. Albert Butterhouse, 50 stone, and his wife, that's actually his age, is 50, and wife Marthy, 47, who apparently is not of any particular weight. Emigrated from Pretoria to Christchurch 6 years ago. So he wasn't in the first wave of racist bastards.
No, he came later.
He came much later. So he's probably not a racist. He's probably just a normal dude who just likes eating too much.
Yeah.
So when he applied for permanent residency,
more than 2 years ago. He's been here 6 years. So, you know, you'd think it'd be about time that he was given residency, permanent residency. His 130 kg bulk has held him back. 130 kgs, honestly, it just doesn't seem that big to me.
It's you know, you look at that guy and you think, you look at a 130 kilo person, you think, yeah, they're fat.
They're fat.
But you don't think, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Even out of the house.
Oh my God. He must need a crane.
Like, you know, I'm pretty sure, I wonder what Jerry Brownlee's BMI is.
Jerry Brownlee definitely weighs more than 130 kgs, unless he's 4 feet tall. And I'm pretty sure he's not 4 feet tall.
Yeah. I hate that this is, like, BMI is such a bullshit measurement anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, not, you know, let's be honest, the guy's not, you know, like all the my favorite thing about the BMI is the ones that prove that, you know, like major athletes, like, you know, rugby players and things are obese.
Yeah.
But, I mean, clearly this guy's obese, but why are we imposing retarded measurements like BMI on residency state applications? Can't we have a doctor actually look at someone and do some, you know, actual health tests and see what their health is like?
Yeah. I agree with that. 130 kgs.
He's lost 30 kilos since arriving in New Zealand.
Wait, so was he 160?
Apparently.
Holy shit.
So it would suggest.
Holy shit. Well, I mean, just let him keep going on this trajectory and just don't kick him out. And if he gets below whatever magical number some officious bastard with a rubber stamp decides is the number that makes him safe, then just fucking stamp his application.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Be reasonable, immigration. I mean, I'm tired of more blah. We have a lot of particular kinds of people immigrating into New Zealand, it seems to me. South Africans and English. And I mean, haven't we got enough? Do we really need more? Can we have more people who make food that I actually want to eat?
So we need what, more?
Mexicans.
Vietnamese, Mexicans.
Not Vietnamese.
No?
No.
I love Vietnamese food.
Yeah, but there's enough.
Oh, okay. Mexicans.
Mexicans.
All right. I had the tacos from the taco food truck that I forget the name of. Yeah. Lucky Taco, that's it.
Yeah.
Was at the food show.
Did they make you
I had the tacos
happy?
And they were freaking delicious.
Did you go, oh, this is wonderful?
Yeah, MC OJ's food truck, apparently.
Is that right?
Otis Frizzell, if you prefer.
Is that right?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Says informed person Robin Gallagher.
Happy Taco.
Lucky Taco. The Lucky Taco. Otis Frizzell.
Lucky Taco. The Lucky Taco Co-NZ. There we go then. Well, that's in the show notes. So if you're interested in blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's Otis's birthday on Friday.
And yeah, Friday you'll find them at 230 Ponsonby Road from 12 till 8 p.m. or until they sell out, and their tacos are delicious. Highly recommended. Go and eat them. Yum, 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 yum.
Yum, 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 yum. Yum, 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 yum.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Despite global release, Breaking Bad, heavily pirated.
Well,
are you shocked and amazed? How can this possibly be true?
But so there was an interesting article, which I haven't read all of, so I'm going to talk out my ass. But there was an article in the New York Times, which I'll find the link to and I'll send to you so you can put it in the show notes, about social media being the savior of broadcast television.
Yeah, this is the second screen concept.
Yeah, well, sort of about the way we engage with television and the way we engage with each other while we're watching television now. And my point, someone posted this on the internets this morning, and my point in reply to them was it's also the largest driver for piracy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it used to be, if you remember back to the old days being like a decade or so ago.
Study links TV viewership and Twitter conversations, a first of its kind study by Nielsen, has affirmed what nearly everyone in the television industry already suspected. Twitter conversations sometimes do cause people to turn on the TV.
Absolutely. And so, but when we can't turn on the TV,
They
cause us to want the thing that people are talking about. And so, you know, like 10, 15 years ago, we didn't know what the hell was being broadcast on the other side of the world.
No. And there was no way for us to get spoilers.
No, we didn't get spoilers. People didn't just blast it. Like, if we really wanted to go looking, we could find it, obviously, because the internet existed. But, you know, you had to go looking. It didn't just, you know, it wasn't your friends that you talked to on the internet weren't suddenly getting excited. These friends that you, whose opinions you know, I mean, these people are influencers. You know, they're sought after by advertising agencies and all sorts because they are the new version of the word of mouth, right? Our friends we trust, our friends' tastes we trust. So when our friends are suddenly all talking about something, we want that something.
Yeah.
And we must have it. Yeah. And to their credit, the television industry is doing a much better job now of getting that to us quickly, but it's still not quite quick enough in some cases.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, there's not much more they can do given the way the time zones work and it take, you know, how things work. You know, this is only so soon after it's on air in the States can it get on air here.
Yeah.
Realistically. So they're doing a reasonably good job, but, you know, it's until there is some ability to have, you know, a real on-demand international release of a show that we can all either watch whenever we want or all at the same time. You know, if we know an episode of Breaking Bad's coming out at, say, 8 p.m. U.S. time on such and such, and we can watch it whatever our local time zone is and join in the international conversation,
yeah,
then so be it. But that can't happen at the moment. When it does, yay.
Yeah.
Sadly, it can't. But people like Breaking Bad. Shocking.
Amazing. It's like people like things that are good.
Apparently they do.
Who bloody knew?
One day I really want to have a good
1 minute
conversation with someone I know in the industry who really understands this licensing stuff and bring it all to you. And I will.
Hello, Carol. Hello, Carol. Hello, Carol.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Carol. 1 minute. Yeah, so who's that going to be?
I'm not going to say yet, but I will do it eventually. Right. I will have this conversation and I'll make it, I don't know, a special or something. But
all right.
Yeah, I would like it because a lot of people want it to just be changed, and it can't just be changed.
Yeah,
but I'm sure we'll work towards that.
It will be changed.
It will. Well, it will obviously at some point somehow.
When you say it can't just be changed, you mean it can't be changed overnight? But it can be changed.
Oh, it can be changed. It just can't just be changed.
Three.
Yeah. Well, Dylan, it was wonderful. You've got to call me Dylan as well.
Okay, Dylan, thanks for joining me.
And thank you, all of you Dylans out there in Dylan space.
The weekly show.
See you next week.
Sorry. Of course.
We're using that one.
I don't want to do any more stories because that's so many stories. It's enough.
Good. Yeah. Are you mocking me?
Joe Rogan questions everything.
Yes. Second episode of his first series is about chemtrails. Quite good. Haven't seen the others. Maybe the others are insane, crazy conspiracy bullshit, but at least chemtrails he has a healthy amount of skepticism on and sees that, in fact, there's no fucking proof. It's all insane.
That's right. And that's kind of how I feel about many conspiracy theories. Although, as we've said before, some conspiracies are real. We know that some conspiracies are real because they eventually came out, you know, so...
Absolutely, but you say even the ones that come out, I don't think, even the conspiracies we know about, I don't think any of them are even remotely as insane or, frankly, senseless as many that are proposed now. Like the people proposing that Boston bombing wasn't real or that Sandy Hook was staged, you know, none of the conspiracies we know about were anything like that crazy. And people, you know, assuming that 9/11 was faked for some insane and ill-defined reason, or the FEMA camps, none of that even passes a simple logic test.
I'm pretty sure Katrina never even happened, because my auntie, she's got a good friend that she knows from bingo, and she said that she was in New Orleans only a little bit after that was meant to have happened, and it was like there was hardly anything had happened. It was just like a little bit of water damage or whatever.
Wow, what aren't they telling us?
What are they telling us, and why not?
I'm not saying that this is what happened. I'm just asking questions.
See, so I'm not going to say that there's no such thing as a reptilian shapeshifter in human form, that, you know, a bunch of them sneak around and they are trying to form a one-world government and they are among us. I'm not saying that that definitely hasn't happened, but it's more likely that that Robin Bain murdered his whole family and then shot himself in the head. Oh, yeah, actually, there's been further stuff about that, hasn't there? So the police have, I don't know, to either silence or prove the
recent criticism from TV3 activist, journalist, whatever her name is, about the marks on Robin Baines' thumb being from loading a 22 magazine. They've tested it and they've done some fingerprint testing and some magazine testing of their own. And I guess they will say what they think actually really happened. I know what I think happened.
I think I know what you think happened too.
But if I'm wrong, then my opinion about the whole thing will completely change, of course. My interpretation is only based on, you know, what I've seen from journalists and what I believe is more likely. But like I said a couple of weeks ago, I'm only 80% that David Bain did it. And that's why I'm kind of fine with him having been released, because his lawyer did their job, you know.
And he spent quite a while in prison.
Not enough. If he did do it, and I still believe that he did do it, then he didn't spend enough time in prison, and he should have been there forever.
Well, he doesn't pose a risk to anyone else.
Only people who are members of his family. That's right. But he asked for the rifle back.
Well, he wants to go hunting.
Yeah, for brothers and sisters, but there are so few of them. Now, there are so few left. He overhunted them like the mower. Yeah. Anyway, let's turn this thing off before I get in any actual trouble. You know, Roswell.
What are the chances?
Yeah. Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Don't forget to rewind the tape.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips. Sorry, and chips.
The show is cancelled. Beep.